Good morning. One another. I was listening to a speaker, and it wasn't a religious. Well, anyway, she was Christian, but it wasn't a religious speech. But she was speaking to a bunch of other Christians. So she said, if we would live by the one another's scriptures, we would do well. And she said there was 41 of them in the New Testament. And so I started looking. And it depends which version you look up one another in. If you look up NIV, there's three. If you look up King James, there's like, I can't remember. It was more than 41. But anyway, so I don't know what version she was using. But I found a bunch of them. And and it's all about choices, like Justin was talking about. And I'm good at some of them and not so good at the others. I'd like to read Matthew 22:36 through 40, and this is very similar to what Destry read. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. See, this is a pattern. This is what we're looking for. And this is the whole, and we're trying to fit our pieces into it. And I come up with this after looking up these others, because it's all about other people, one another. Okay, so that's not one and me; it's one and another. So it's somebody else. So the second half of that is the one and others. And the first half, the greatest, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God. And that's the reason why we do the second one. That's why we love one another. So the first thing I have is the largest category was to love one another. It's kind of a general, vague kind of thing. Love one another. May your love abound. And you read 1 John, you'll get a half of them. And then there's a sprinkling of rest in other places. But you will, love is one another is kind of the overarching theme. And then the rest of the categories, which I tried to categorize them, kind of fit into that, under that, the love part. So, let's see here. I wanted to read John 13, 12 through 17. Oh, yes. Okay. And this is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer... Well, actually, he's done now. And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done unto you. Truly, truly, I say to you, A servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So this doesn't have one another in it, but this is the principle. This is the idea that did Jesus have an easy time getting this thought across to his apostles or his disciples? Or, yeah, I guess both. But no, they were constantly fighting over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You know, can this one sit on your left hand, this one sit on your right hand? And he was talking to them about how the Gentiles lord it over you, and that's not to be so with you. And finally, I think right in the first part of this reading, Peter still wasn't getting it. He says, "You'll never wash my feet." And then I think he finally got it. But and we're the same way. We're exactly the same way. It's a human condition. This doesn't come easy to us to love one another. So, as a quick thing, I want you to keep in mind, what are I guess you would remember these, the five love languages. Do we remember what those are? No? Okay. I wrote it down, and it's not on this piece of paper, because I'm not going to trust myself to remember it. And it's not this one either. Okay, so we're going to wing it. So gifts was one. So visualize in your brain how gifts can be a love language, okay? We're talking about, think about English, and if we didn't have media like radio, TV, and this type of thing, what happens to any other language that is spread out over a large landmass? It breaks up into chunks. Like one speaker said, if I told you to red up your room, what would that mean? How many of you know what I just said? Some of you do, because you're from Western Pennsylvania. It means clean up your room. To clean up your room. To red up your room. Okay, that's what happens with it would happen with English if we didn't have the radio and the TV tying us all together and all trying to speak Hollywood. So that's what would happen. We'd end up with different dialects that would divide us up, so to speak. You go to England, from what I understand, and you go to the racetrack or some common place and you try, I speak English, but I don't know what they're speaking. And it's different, even though it's English. And it's not even the Queen's English, which is, I don't speak that either. So, anyway. Where was I going? Okay, love languages. Okay, so, love languages, it does the same thing. We don't all speak the same dialect of love, okay? So we have, all right, there's gifts, there's quality time, physical touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, yes, thank you. Yes, physical touch, yep. So think of those as we go over these things. So we have love. Okay. That's kind of the first one. And then these others can kind of divide it up. So we have greeting. These verses, to meet my criteria, had to have one and other in it. So that was the dividing point. So greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. or I forget exactly how the other one was worded, but it was very, very similar. That was greeting. So that would be, that's not one of my love languages, I don't think, because I can go into a room and not speak to anybody, take my place, and be perfectly happy sitting there and doing whatever's going on. But some people, I'll pick on Derek, he comes in and he just starts greeting people as soon as he comes in, and it takes him 5 minutes to get from that door to the seat. And that's a compliment. I'm not picking on you in any way. I think that's a great thing. He's got the greeting down. And then there was two verses. I had two verses for that. And then, all right, let's put this down. Let's see here. Greeting. Okay. Then the second one was, and I didn't put these in any kind of order, serve or submit. And this was the other large one. This one was almost as big as love. And if you think about it, probably most of us, if you're going to show love to somebody, I would think you're going to do that by doing something for them. Okay? So you're going to serve or submit to them. So. Okay. Okay, and then I'm just going to write these all down. All right, then we got... truth. And know. Giving. All right, then we'll come back over here. Nope, I want this one. Nope, those... Okay. This is not scientific by any means. So, all right, now we're done with that. Okay, so we had the greeting, and then the serving, and the submitting. I was going to go to 1 Peter 4 and 8 for that one. This was the next largest one another group. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I think that is so neat. It says, so a lot of times we get a gift, and it means something to us. And the idea is, a lot of times, is to save it and to put it on a shelf somewhere. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do with our gifts, so to speak. I mean, there's certain gifts you can't use, but like if you get a porcelain figurine or something, I suppose you could give it away again, but something like that you can't use very much. But a lot of times God gives us stuff that is like tools or things that we could use again. I mean, how many times do we go out and buy tools when, if we were to have an inventory of how many tools all of us have, we probably each got our own tool collection. We wouldn't have to buy another tool. We could probably go borrow it from somebody and save the money, you know. or something like that. So I think a lot of times one of my new philosophies or not, but it's an idea that I have, is to get rid of my inventory, see how fast I can get rid of my inventory, and I'll bet I probably won't be able to get rid of it, because I think God will keep giving it to me as long as I keep getting rid of it. Hope that's making sense. But as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. All right. And then, so that's the serving. And then the truth and no lie. Those are just some of the wording from the different scriptures that I found. One of them was, do not lie to your one another. And the other one was, I can't remember where the truth when, how that one was worded. But anyway, maybe it'll be in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:25. And this goes very closely with forgiving. I have these written side by side in my columns here, and that was just a coincidence, but you can't hardly have the truth without the forgiveness. Because a lot of times when you tell someone the truth, us being the people we are, if I find out the truth, that usually means, oops, I wasn't doing that right. And so now that I know the truth, I need forgiveness. And so they go hand in hand. And if you look at, I got truth, no lie, and forgiveness here, and I got Ephesians 4:25, and then right across from it is Ephesians 4:32. And then under that one, I got Colossians 3:9, and then across from that, I got Colossians 3:13. And they just go, I mean, they're the same scripture for both ideas. So they go, and almost all of these are so intertwined that I feel like I'm ripping them apart, separating them into categories. Okay, Ephesians 4:25, reading to verse 32. Therefore, having put away, and a lot of times I had to back up because to get context and stuff like that. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God is in Christ forgave you. So there we have speaking the truth, and at the end we have the forgiveness. And then flipping over to Colossians 3. One through 17. Now I want you to think about. All right, not yet. Anyway, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate. All right. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then we have the edify and the comfort and the fellowship. That's over here. Yep. And I didn't pick which one I wanted to read. Okay. So anyway, I think we know. Anyway, edifying is what we're supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing right at this moment. We're supposed to be encouraging, and we're supposed to take comfort and fellowship. And one of those, I think it's this first one here, 1 Thessalonians, talks about when we die and how we don't want you to grieve like the rest of men, but to be encouraged because there's going to be a resurrection and we will be with Christ and be with God. And so we can actually look at death with a whole different light than your normal human being can. And we are to encourage each other with those words. And then in James, or we have the confess and the pray, and that's in James 5 and 16. I'll read that one. Okay, James 5 and 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, these are all things that are hard to do, I think. I mean, think of how our group, I mean, this is a good group. This is just an idea that popped out of thin air. This is not something I saw as a problem here. But think of any group, and if they could apply all these one another principles to their group, it would be like this group. We come here and we're encouraged and edified, and we like each other. I mean, we're not. One of the negatives, what I thought was really neat, was, which I didn't cover any of, was they have negative one another's in here as well. And let's see here. There was one I really liked. thought was interesting, I should say. All right, right here is Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Think about it. If you have a group of people that's coming together, a family group, some kind of a group, and you're just always biting, you know, think of a bunch of dogs or something, biting and devouring each other, what's going to happen? People are going to, at the minimum, stop coming to that group, okay? And then pretty soon, you will have consumed one another. You will have, the group will be no more. It won't be a group anymore. So same could happen in the church. So it's a good thing to keep in mind. But these are things to think about. So why do we do these things? Why do them? I mean, it's not human nature to... It's not in my nature to come into a room and greet everybody and, you know, talk to everybody. That's not my nature. And I would have to work at that. Why would I do that? Well, the whole point of this is, in Matthew, it was talking about, why do we do anything? We do it to bring glory to God. So, one of the reasons I would come into this group and I would greet people would be because I am trying to bring glory to God. And as one speaker said, we're trying to make God famous. And that, I thought, well, yeah, that makes, that you know, bring God glory, that sounds good, but in my English, that doesn't really translate very well. It's like, what's that mean? Bring God glory. Well, make God famous. Now that is something that I can comprehend and think about. So when somebody sees me, they think of God. They think, oh, that's the, he does that because he's doing it to make God famous. And the analogy the guy used, him and his family wanted to make God famous. So they went out and they put signs out and they said, car wash. And then they put free car wash. And then they put no donations accepted. And then they put, there was five of them. I forget the, and then the last one was, reason is to make God famous. And so they washed, their family washed cars all day long for free and took no donations. And they told everybody that the reason they were doing it was because they were trying to make God famous. And I thought that was a pretty cool idea. So, anyway, I want to go to 1 Peter 2. Nine through 12. This is why we do this. Because, all right, one of my reasons for this is work has been a little crazy. Been working overtime, and it seems like if they can cram it in a crack at work, it's my job to make sure it gets done. And whether I have parts or, you know, it's like, anyway, you don't want to hear that. But part of it just gets more and more, that's not the right word, gets harder and harder to keep a good attitude and not grumble and complain. Like, it says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. And so I constantly am trying to think, and it gets harder and harder just not to be sarcastic and just rip on somebody. And I have to keep reminding myself that I'm doing this for the glory of God, to make God famous. And it's helped me a lot, I think, You never know what would have happened if I would have taken the other path. But that's a lot of my reasoning for this lesson, I guess, is trying to keep myself in line, trying to keep my attitude right, and acting the way I should. Okay, back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. How many times do you feel like I'm just a piece of dirt, somebody just kicking me around, and they're stomping me into this hole in the ground? That's the way I feel sometimes. So anyway. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want to be a whiner and a complainer, just like the other guys at work. I want to get mad and say, it's not my fault, it's your fault, and just let everybody know how unfair life is. That's what I want to do. But what am I supposed to be doing? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am strong, or how's that one? My weakness. All right. I am strong. It's kind of a play on words. It says, when I am weak, I am strong. And I underline the second I am as in making that God. So when I am weak, then God becomes strong. Or He gets the credit for it. I can be strong because God is strong. Okay, continuing on. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, the truth and forgiveness. We need those. Most definitely. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wait. And this is this next phrase I forget so often, which wage war against your soul. How many times do I think I'm just living in America and life is good? And I'm not. I am, but there is so much going on. They're trying to kill me. I mean, the devil's out to get me, and he's trying his hardest. And if I forget that, he's got me. All I have to do is forget that I'm in a war, and bam, he's on me. Just like that. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So who are Gentiles? We're all Gentiles. But we are spiritual Jews, maybe? Haven't thought that through. So the Gentiles, I think, in this context is referring to non-Christians. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So you're making God famous. That was what I was going to write above that. It was make God famous, and I couldn't think of it when I got up here because I didn't write it on my notes. But that's my thoughts for this morning. So live your life, I guess, for one another, which isn't easy to do. It sounds good on paper, and it looks good, but it's not the easiest thing to do. So go at it. First thing is make God famous. Second thing is help your brother make God famous, I guess. And go at it like your life depended on it. So, we'll offer the invitation at this time. If there's anybody who needs forgiveness, needs truth, needs any of these things, our job is to give it to you. So, if you come forward as we sing the closing song, we can help you with that.